Is there anything sweeter than sharing the stories that are from the road? The musicians inside the studios, it's like the inside sleeve of an album. Arrow.net, A-R-R-O-E.net. All right, let's do it. Let's play it forward. These are real people, real stories, the struggle to play it forward. Episode number 501 is with Matt Stubbs from GA20.
This is Matt.
Matt, what are you doing, man? You sound like you're out on the road on tour.
I am on tour.
Doesn't that feel good to say?
Yeah, it does, actually.
So when did you have time to put together this brand new collection of music?
The new record, Crackdown, actually was recorded before the pandemic. It was a follow-up to our first record, Lonely Soul. But when everything shut down, we decided to put it on hold, releasing it. And we ended up recording another record, the Hound Dog Tribute record, and that came out first.
Wow.
And now that we're back on the road, we're releasing this one.
Man, I've been through this collection of music about three or four times now. And the one thing that I keep writing down is that I am convinced that what you do with blues and electric, it's like I'm living the moment when Dylan picked up the electric guitar. Because, I mean, you've got some blues and some storytelling and everything happening inside those lyrics. And it's right there with that guitar.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Putting this music together in a modern age where you want to be discovered on all formats, are you thinking about that, or is it, you know what, I'm going to let everybody else do that for me? My main important job is to play it live and make new stuff.
We think about making albums and releasing them. I mean, obviously, you have to think of all platforms, but, you know, I'm an album guy. I like thinking from the front to the back rather than just singles.
Yeah. Let's talk about that song, Crackdown. There's a movement inside this collection of music because, I mean, some of these songs sound like they belong in movies. Are you pushing for that?
Sure, we'll take that. We've had a bunch of songs in TV shows already, but we haven't had a movie one yet. That'd be great.
Yeah, because the one I keep thinking about for a movie is, there's just something about the song By My Lonesome that I sit there and it's like cut loose and be yourself. And I'm going, God, that would be a great movie song.
Hey, feel free to pitch it. We'll take it if you get it.
Now, are you practicing these songs to put out when you're out there on the band and out there on that stage and stuff? The reason why I ask that is because sometimes you'll record it, but you can't work it into the set list until people become more familiar with it.
We're doing all of them live for sure. They're all on the set list.
What kind of clubs are you playing in these days?
The tour, we're on tour right now for about a month, and they're clubs and theaters for the most part. We're out with our label mates, the Monophonics and Kendra Morris. So it's three bands on the tour. So they're larger size rock clubs for the most part.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love about the music is that it's so one-on-one. It's almost like you said, hey, we're in the studio right now. If you want to come over here and do it. I mean, like the song Just Because, it's got one of those where the vocals take over the lead role. I mean, all the instruments are in the background, but boy, those vocals really take over.
Well, that's good. That's, you know, we want everybody to be able to hear it.
Do you take the time to sit down with the engineer first and discuss it, or is it one of those things where you get it down and then that's when you know, before you master it and everything like that, you guys have worked it out?
No, I definitely talk to the engineer beforehand and give them examples of what we're going for. And then when that's done, we go into mix land. And that's a different engineer that I work with. And I do the same thing with them. I have lots of examples and very clear of what I'm going for.
I once had an engineer tell me, he says, when you come into this studio, you're relinquishing control of your songs. Okay, what you need to do, dude, is just do what you do, and then we'll do the rest. I mean, that doesn't happen every day.
Oh, I would fire that engineer.
Oh, he was. Oh, dude, if you only knew the troubles I had getting my masters and stuff like that. Oh, my God. Yeah, I wanted all of my mixes. As far as I was concerned, I put the money down. All that stuff belonged to me.
Yeah, right.
What are some of the experiences that you've gone through in a studio where it's like, okay, this right here was a learning experience?
Everything. I mean, you know, from the first time I was in a studio to being a sideman in the studio to learning, you know, mic placements and knowing how loud to play. You know, usually in the studio we play quite a bit quieter than we do live. We use smaller amps and play pretty quiet in the studio in comparison.
Is that the reason why I feel like that it is up close and personal? Because I mean, there are the songs here that really feel like that you're sitting right there with me.
I don't know if that's why. We play quieter just because it's easier to Well, first of all, we play all live together, so all our amps and drums are in one room. We don't isolate things, so playing quieter gives you a little bit more control when you go to mix.
Mm-hmm. Joe Perry of Aerosmith once told me that when you go into the arenas or you go into the clubs and things like that, you have to find out where the echo spot is. Do you guys do that as well, just to find out so that it doesn't take you by shock?
No, I've never done that. I don't know what that is. The echo spot?
Yeah, what he does is that he says that when he's doing a guitar solo, that he's so wrapped up into the moment inside the hall that if it goes up there and it starts doing, you're a master at reverb anyway. I mean, what happens is that it gets up there and it creates an echo, and he says it can take him out.
Hmm. I mean, I guess maybe he means in some places we play, there's it hits the back wall and there's like a delay effect. Yeah, I don't like that, but I don't go in looking for it. If it's there, I deal with it, I suppose.
Let's talk about that song, Gone for Good. This one is about, anybody's going to listen to the song is going to say, well, this one was meant for me.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you like it. That was definitely one of the more traditional blues numbers on the record.
Have the blues changed, or is it just that people are more open to it these days? And that, during the days of Muddy Waters, you had to really get into, the lifestyle and the smoky, bar scenes and things like that.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't around back then. But yeah, I think the blues music in general these days is definitely changed from what it was in the 50s or 60s. We like the stuff from the 50s and 60s.
Do you ever walk into a Sam Ash or a Guitar Center and just sit down and jam out and try to inspire the younger generation in the way that, they know that inside their heart they've got the passion to play, but they just need to be coached a little bit?
I don't really do that too much anymore. I don't go to Guitar Center that often.
So what instrument are you using these days? Let's give those guys a plug, because that instrument is with you at all times.
On tour right now, the main guitar I'm using is it's a Telecaster, but it's made by a company called Waterslide. It was custom made for something I wanted. It's kind of a mix between a Telecaster and an old Silvertone.
Ooh. I'm reading articles about where people are really going for the custom made guitars. In fact, Tamus Stedman is a guitar maker here in Charlotte that he had this vision to build these guitars. And now the Marshall Tucker Band is playing his guitars.
That's cool.
So, that's part of the relationship, isn't it? Even Brian May of Queen, takes his guitar Red with him and has really built up a lifespan there.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense.
Yeah. Fairweather Friend, what is this song about?
Well, Pat wrote that one, the lyrics to that one. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, Fairweather Friend.
In the way that, but when you're sharing it up there on that stage, you're making connections with people, and you kind of like go, ooh, am I that fair weather friend, or am I the one that's going to identify the fair weather friend?
Sure, yeah, that's it. However you want to interpret it.
I knew you were going to say that. I've been waiting for you to say that. So now GA20, for listeners that are just tuning in to find out what that's all about, the creation of the band, where did it start, and how do you like to see it grow?
We started in Boston in 2018.
Nice.
Pat and I started the band. Tim joined the band about a year after that on drums. Before that, we had just different drummers filling in. And we just started, really, I was off the road for about a year from Charlie Musselwhite. He was out with Ben Harper. Mm-hmm. So I was just looking to have a project to keep me busy. And there really wasn't too much traditional blues going on in the Boston area. So Pat and I love that type of music, so we started the band because just what really wasn't happening around in town.
One of the things that music does is that it's constantly evolving. In fact, when Elton John was in town last night, I've seen some of the stuff that he played. When he was singing it goes in a completely different direction than what it sounded like with music. What is it about an artist where you do take a chance on that? Is it to keep it fresh, or is it just what's the story behind stuff like that?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Even when you see, one of the reasons why I love listening to live music when people record it and they give it to their fans and stuff like that is because it's not like the original song in the studio, because you'll take the vocals in a different direction. I like that. And so I'm just, but in order for you guys to do that, that's got to take some serious confidence on your side.
Yeah. We stay pretty close to the recorded song in that aspect. We stretch out with solos live, and sometimes tempos could be a little bit faster live just because, you know, the energy of the room. But we stay pretty close to the recorded versions.
Speaking of that energy, Double Getting, I'd like to see the light show on that song, because that looks like one where you'd put the spotlights on the fans to see them jumping out there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. People like that one.
When you put up a song like that where you know that are going to get people to be activated, I mean, how does it does it play out first on an acoustic guitar, or are you sitting there with different guitar riffs going, you know, I have this riff I've had for about 25, let's go 5 years. I've had this riff for 5 years. I think it's time we put it to work.
Yeah, I mean, it usually starts with either Pat having a lyric or a verse, or one of us having a guitar riff, and then we send it back, you know, back and forth. with little iPhone recordings or whatever. And once we feel like we have a template of the song, the three of us will get together and arrange it.
So what is the go-to food out there on that bus or inside that van? I mean, there's always got to be, every town you go into, that you're going to that go-to food.
Well, we've been eating a lot of tacos.
Yeah.
We're on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Those have been delicious.
Are people pretty much into the music scene only because on this side of the world, over here on the East Coast, all we hear about is the governor and how the state is burning up and you're running out of water and things. And I swear to God, you guys are like the new folk stars, the folk rock stars, because you're out there telling the story and beefing people back up.
I hope so.
What part of California are you guys touring in?
We're leaving the state now. We're heading to Vancouver, but we did San Diego, L.A., San Francisco, and Santa Cruz this past week.
Oh, my God, Vancouver, dude. That's one of my favorite places up on the planet. You going to take a ferry over there to Victoria, too, just to take in the sights?
I don't think we're going to have time for that this time.
Oh, you got to love that then. See, you go from a lockdown to not having enough time. Yeah, I mean, that's the star, you know, coming right out of you.
That's right.
So what's the website where listeners can go and find out about the first one and about this brand new one called Crackdown?
GA20band.com.
And what is the GA20? What does that stand for?
It's an old Gibson amplifier.
Nice.
From the 50s. So that was what we were using when we first started the band, and we use them when we record.
There was one of the things, we're with a live group tonight, and one of the things that I mentioned was, I said they've got kind of like a Black Keys appeal, but there's more to them than that. Is that, you like that old standard style?
Yeah, I mean, I see why you say that. I mean, the Black Keys are definitely coming from more of a garagey hill country blues thing. I think we're a little bit more I don't know, and more like Chicago blues, less than Chicago blues. But yeah, I can see why. No bass player, and it's, dirty blues.
Do you miss those garage days?
No.
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 See, I always miss when the cops were called, and then the cops would come and say, why do I have to always come over here? Why can't you just be nice?
Right.
Well, dude, you got to come back to this show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
All right, I appreciate you having me.
All right, you be brilliant, okay?
All right, see you soon.